Number two on heaven. We talked about the last message. We talked about Valhalla. We talked about Islam's idea of heaven. We talked about Mormonism's idea of heaven populating worlds, each Mormon man being a Mormon god, populating whole universes, and having wives and having children forever, and that's heaven to them. That's not heaven. Heaven is not going into oblivion. Heaven is not having everything you want. Heaven is heaven. And by the description of God's word, we looked at some things. How did the heaven come into existence? How did heaven come into existence? How did heaven come into existence?
By God. Well, Christ.
All right. Genesis 1:1 says, Barashith, Bara, Elohim, Eth Hashemayim, We Eth Haaretz. It said, in one of the beginnings, in eternity past, by the way, when was the earth created? The earth was not created in time. It was not created 6 or 10,000 or 15 or 20,000 years ago. It was created in eternity past. And heaven was created then. God, here's the abode of God. Here's heaven. Here's the earth down here. Heaven and earth was created in eternity past. Okay? In eternity past. Man was not on the earth yet. Angels, we find out that the first Eden means pleasure palace or dainties. It means a place like the kings of England, like Russia, Germany, Denmark, wherever they are, they have their palaces are like heaven because they are the spokesman for the princes and the queens of the spokesman for God. All looks like their idea of heaven. Beautiful paintings and golden candlesticks and table and goldware and silverware and finest china and all of this stuff. That's their idea of heaven. Maybe probably the only heaven they'll ever have. God created the heaven and the earth in eternity past. And then it says in Genesis 1 and 2, We ha'aretz ha'yatohu vavohu v'hoshukha panei ha'mayim. We rule all Elohim Meripacheth El Panei Hamayim. And the earth she became formless and void, and Spirit God suffered over, mourned over the faces of the deep. Something happened. Then in Genesis 1, we have the reconstruction of the earth. In time. In time. Not in eternity past, but in time. And that's where we see man put on the earth. Now, heaven was created in eternity past, and if we look at Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, we find out that the great emissary, the guy that stood, and the angel that was over the earth at that time, the Eden, the throne room on the earth, the first Eden was Lucifer. Lucifer sinned against God and caused the great catastrophes that we see, and that was in eternity past, not in time. I have to get that across to you. That's what it says in the Hebrew language. And so many people today will have King James only, and they will interpret God's word from King James. The Bible was written in Hebrew in the Old Testament and Greek in the New Testament. Of course, there was part of the Old Testament where it was written in Aramaic and Chaldee. But we have that. The Bible is inspired in those languages, not in translations. The Bible is not inspired in translations. It is inspired in the original language. And the manuscripts that we have, I think most of them are, especially the Nestle-Allen text, is as close to the original signatures as you can get. Getting back to heaven now. Satan had access to heaven. If you look up here, the path of Satan, I think it should be black instead of blue. Isaiah 14, 12 through 15, Ezekiel 28, 13 through 19. And you go on, Job 1 and 7, you see how he's interfered with mankind. You go over here to Revelation 12, 7 through 10, go down here, Revelation 12, 13 through 17. And over here, Revelation 20 and 13, all the way down to Revelation 27 through 9. And then up here again to Revelation 20 and 10. And then into the lake of fire Satan goes. Heaven and hell are co-eternal. Both places are eternal. Okay? Genesis says that God created heavens and the earth. All the heavens and all the earth there is that we see today. But he did it in eternity past. In 6 days, God reconstructed the earth. Reconstructed the earth. That's what it says, reconstructed. Rebuilt. Have you ever bought a rebuilt carburetor, Larry?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Rebuilt carburetor. I bought a rebuilt carburetor one time when I worked for Sunland Refinery. And I went down and got it for a Lincoln welder. And I got it, and I opened the box up, and it was full of dirt and sand. They hadn't cleaned it up after they put it. They didn't ever put the parts in it. It wasn't rebuilt at all. And then I went down and got a carburetor kit. And I put the carburetor kit in the carburetor that they had put in this carburetor cleaner, but they didn't clean it out. It was full of dirt. It was full of real fine dirt inside it. And I rebuilt it then. And it worked until I left that place. It was still working. Want to work for Sully and Son Hydraulics? They brought Corvettes in and all kinds of stuff. When we got slow on hydraulics, I rebuilt car carburetors and put them on. I put spark plugs in cars, whatever needed to be done, I did it. Rebuilding engines. You rebuild them. You build it, make them as good as new. Well, God made the earth, restored it, rebuilt it, replaced every gasket and what float in it when he put man upon it. Before he put man upon it, actually. Now, who are the people that occupy heaven?
The saved.
The saved. And heaven. And angels and spirits. Mm-hmm. You asked a while ago, Marilyn, about a guardian spirit. Guardian spirits occupy heaven too, don't they? Guardian spirits and guardian angels. Now, the difference with angels and spirits is that spirits don't have form. They're dual in nature. Angels are triune. They have form. They are clothed. Spirits are not. We have guardian angels and we have spirits. The spirits that are evil, the fallen spirits that go and inspire people like Muhammad and Joseph Smith and Charles Taze Russell and so-called whatever. All of these different people that lead people astray in religious history in the world. The people that occupy heaven today are in paradise. It is not a place where you have 72 virgins await on you. It's not a place where you repopulate earths and heavens that you create like Adam God did, as a Mormon church says, that Adam God was the only God and when we have anything to do with Adam God built this universe. But every Mormon man and his faithful Mormon man can go into another heaven. And in that heaven, he builds his own universe. And he acts like God again, because here God's an embryo, if you're a good guy. Like Brigham Young, Joseph Smith, and neither one of those are good guys, people. They're not good guys. Neither was Muhammad's idea of Muhammad, or if he even lived, nor are those that lived after him, Abu Bakr, or wherever. In 1 Kings 8 and 30 and Acts 3:21, Hebrews 6 and 20 and Matthew 18 and 10 and Luke 6:22 and Luke 23:42 and 43, it tells you about those that occupy heaven and a little bit about heaven. In Luke 15 and 7, Jesus in the book of Luke tells us that repentance and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ is a prerequisite to going into heaven. Okay? And John, the third chapter, let's go there. We referred to it in the last one. John chapter 3. This is the most read chapter in the Bible, I believe. John chapter 3. That was a man of the Pharisees. His name was Nicodemus. His name means Nico, conqueror of people, Demos. He was a crowd buster. Demos a lot of times is referring to a lawful, unlawful assembly. He was a crowd buster. Talking about Ghostbusters in a movie. Well, this guy was a crowd buster. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. And this man, and by the way, he was part of the Sanhedrin court. And he's a representative of the Sanhedrin court and the Pharisees that come to Jesus by night. And he's got probably an entourage with him. He's not sneaking around. He's there as a representative of the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin court. This man came to him by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do except God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, born from above, that's what he said, he cannot see, understand the kingdom of God. Nicodemus is a highfalutin political religious leader. He is in a place of power like that. He's like the Supreme Court of Israel. And he said, unless you're born from above, you can't see the kingdom. You can't understand. You'll never understand anything about the kingdom of God. Now, what he said here, born again, you're born the first time, you're born from your mother's womb and your father's sperm, and you're born into this world. The infection of sin comes from your father. Your mother gives you form. Your father gives you the sin nature and life and death. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter into the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Can he? Can't do that. I can't enter into my mother's womb the first time, second time, be born again. He said, you were already born from the earth. Now you need born from above. Ano, up above, from heaven. And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And water there, possibly, probably many people say it's when their mother's water breaks, then the child comes. Born of water, of the earth, and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Bullinger, in his Figures of Speech, he said, this is a Hendiades, two for one. Being born and being born again. They're both births. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. When you're born of the world, you have your father's blood in you, and your mother's gives you form, and you're brought into the world a dying child infected with the sin of Adam. And then when you're born from the Spirit above, you're born of Spirit of God. And what God puts in you, the Spirit that God puts in you, is a spirit of conviction, a spirit of life, a spirit of guidance. Do not marvel that I say unto you, you must be born again, born from above. The wind blows where it goes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? I don't understand this at all. Well, he didn't understand the kingdom of God or heaven, did he? Didn't understand it. Jesus answered and said to him, are you a teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Now, first of all, he did know what being born again was, because every proselyte that came to them as a Gentile, when they wanted to be grafted into the promises of God, they took them out and they baptized them, and they died to their old nationality and was raised, born again, as a son of Israel. Yes, they knew what being born again was. But he didn't want to put himself in the place of being that Gentile, that unbeliever, that pagan. Jesus told him, you're a pagan. Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak that which we know, and what he's talking about, who's we there? Who's we when Jesus is talking about? Me and my church. The church was already in existence. My church, my believers, my ones called out, my ecclesia. If I told you earthly things, we speak what we have seen and bear witness to what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness, and I told you earthly things, and you do not believe, how can I tell you spiritual things and you believe, or heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who came down from heaven. Heaven. Where's the abode of heaven? The third heaven above the earth. That's where the throne of God is, and there are angels and spirits there. Even the Son of Man, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. That serpent in the wilderness was a serpent. An infection of sin went among the people, the children of Israel, and that infection of sin, the serpents bit them, and they were destined to die, except if they would look to a brass serpent up on a pole, they could live. All I had to do was look. That's simple, isn't it? All we have to do is look at Jesus, believe in him, repent of our sins, ask him to save our soul, apply that atonement to us, and we are born again. Even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. The word for brass in Hebrew is nahash. Did you know that? Nahash. Nahash is also the term for serpent. The deceiving serpent. The brass judgment. The serpent must be lifted up. Jesus, our sins were laid upon him on that cross of Calvary. He died for all man's sins on that cross. Brass judgment. The judgment of God was put upon him, and he died that death, a horrible death, that we might have life. That whosoever believes in him should have eternal life, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. They didn't want to believe. They wanted to look in darkness rather than light. They liked being in the dark. Jesus shined the light on their sins. In our hearts, does God shine the light on your sin in your heart? He does. He does do that. That's because you're a child of God. That's the Spirit of God working in you. That's the Spirit of God convicting you and guiding you and loving you. For God did not send the Son in the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. By his agency, the world is saved. Not only all those that will believe, but the world itself. He redeemed every speck of dirt in the world, in the universe, every star, every comet. Everything Jesus redeemed in his death and bought it back to God. He who believes in him is not judged, but he who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deed should be exposed. We see all of this. This is how you get to heaven. This is how you get there. Peter tells us that there is a place in heaven reserved for the saved in 1 Peter 1:4. An inheritance in heaven for us, an inheritance in heaven. When you go through this life and you work hard and you gather up wealth and the things that you've gained in your life, and when you die, these are inheritance for somebody. When Marilyn and I die, a lot of our inheritance is going to go into discovertheword.com to keep it going after we're gone. We have children. They will get some of that. But the most important thing is doing God's will. I got to tell you a little story. There was a man by the name of Benjamin Marcus Bogard. He slept in the bed with Jesse James one night, because Jesse James went from one Baptist church to another and would redeem their farms that they were losing, that the banks and the railroads were taking away from them. And the banks and the railroads hated them. But Baptist churches, they were Baptists. His father founded 6 missionary Baptist churches. 5 missionary Baptist churches. And I think some of them are still in existence today. And they would, after the Civil War, they couldn't go back as citizens because they wouldn't allow to. there was a warrant for their death and hanging because they had fought with the South. There's a lot to that story. But anyway, he wanted to be Jesse James, and his father took him to a hanging of this man. He saw this man hung, and they hung him twice because the rope broke the first time. They drug him back up there, and he decided he wanted to be a preacher instead of an outlaw, a Robin Hood. Like Jesse and Frank James. He went on to preach all of his life. He preached all of his life. He was one of the first preachers on radio and television, or not on television, but on radio. I have got some of his messages on Sermon Audio and on discovertheword.com. The creation of the heavens and the earth, etc. He talked about it. There's a place in heaven, inheritance. An inheritance in heaven. Benjamin Marcus Bogard was a German, and he was very frugal in every way. And he didn't want anything in this world. He didn't leave his children or anybody anything. His relatives, they left him nothing. He left everything that he did in this world to the Bogard Press so they could print books that Christians could have and Sunday school material with below cost sometimes. And then the students that were his students there, I'm a student of Benjamin Bogard secondhand. I've read his writings. I never was in a classroom with him, but my teachers were. When Ben Bogard died, he prepared nothing. He had buried his wife, and she had a headstone. But he had a grave there where they're going to bury him, but he hadn't provided for no headstone at all, nothing, that he ever lived. And the students, after his funeral, kicked in money to buy him a headstone. He had provided for you and for me, but he had not provided for himself at all. Period. He would donate money to students that would come into that seminary in Little Rock, Arkansas. And he would take loaves of bread and put it out there in the seminary, in the vestibule as they were going in there. And if you needed bread and the peanut butter and things like that, he provided things like that for them. But he was real ornery in some ways. He would go and look in their trash cans and make sure they weren't throwing food away. And if they did, he'd preach about that next Sunday, about being careless with God's gifts. May we not be careless with God's gifts while we're on this earth. May we take a little bit of that wealth to us within heaven. The Bible says also in Luke 15 and verse 7 that there is rejoicing in heaven in the presence of the angels over every sinner that repents and comes to God. Did you know that? There's rejoicing in heaven. Who's rejoicing? God is. God's, through His Son, suffered on the cross of Calvary that we might have heaven. And every time somebody repents and asks the Lord to save their soul, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels in heaven that God is rejoicing. That inheritance in heaven that is reserved for us in 1 Peter 1 and 4. It says that in 2 Peter 3 and 10 and Revelation 21 and 1, it says that the present heaven's earth will be cleansed of all sin. They will be burned up, purified. Every bit of sin will be taken out of heaven and earth when God makes a new heaven and new earth. The destruction of earth and new heaven and new earth. 2 Peter 3:10 through 13, Revelation 21:1, 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. The earth is going to be rejuvenated again, restored, rebuilt without sin. A new heaven and new earth is there without sin. Revelation 21:1. What are some of the experiences that you will have in heaven? We know that people have been declared dead, and they've come back to tell their experiences of heaven. Most of it is they've gone into this beautiful place and heard singing of angels and saw their loved ones, and they're reunited with their loved ones. I don't know whether any of that is true or not. I'll give you my experience of when I died. Okay? Evidently. And I came back. I did. They had to shock me one time, bring me back to life. But I was in 1971, I think it was. I was in the hospital for 19 days. They gave me a lot of morphine shots. And I was in a hospital room with this Christian man. And he was there. I was studying the Bible all the time when I was conscious enough, but I was delirious with this morphine. One night, I was there. I had a tape recorder, and I'd play it, and it was a reel-to-reel tape recorder. This is old time. This is old school stuff, see? And the recorder would just go on and on. When it go to the end of it, I'd fall asleep with the muffs on my ears. And anyway, I had a dream that night. And in that dream, I was going up to heaven. I was just going up, floating up into heaven. And I saw Jesus coming. And I saw Jesus coming, and Jesus picked me up. And then my hair was standing on end, literally, in this. And he laid me down on the bed. And he said, "I am coming soon." Emi erkemi anon. That's what he said. Between Latin and Greek. I remember that. He walked out the door and went away. Like I was dying and going to heaven, and he took me and put me back in that bed and said, "I'm coming soon." And left. I woke up, and that guy was sitting over there. I said, "Did you see that?" He said, "What?" "Did you see Jesus?" He says, "Son, you were asleep in that bed, and you were imagining things. You've probably been had too many morphine shots." I sat up, and I reached over and opened the door and looked down the doorway. He wasn't there. But he told me, he said, "You know," he says, "nothing happened. You were there all the time. Whether I died, started floating up and came back, or whatever happened, I don't know. Or maybe it was just hallucinating by too many morphine shots, because I'd had 80 or 90 or 100, 120 morphine shots. And that stuff will make you hallucinate with your eyes wide open. But I will never forget that. And I know that Jesus is coming quickly, because the book of Revelation says he is. Quickly, suddenly, imminently. It says that we shall dwell in a new heaven and a new earth in Revelation 22 and verse 14. Those that are unconverted, unsaved, will not enter into heaven. You will never see anybody in heaven that is lost. They don't get to go there. They don't have the key to that gate, so to speak. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 17 tells us that heaven and earth will last forever. It tells us that during the end of the church age, that some living Christians will be raptured up and taken to heaven. Their bodies will be changed into a resurrected body in the air, and they'll go right straight into heaven. Let's go to Revelation, the 22nd chapter, very quick at the end of this message. Revelation 22. If I can find it. Here, last chapter in the book, last chapter in the Bible. And this describes heaven a little bit. in 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There's no longer any sea, no more oceans. Oceans rejuvenate the earth and clean it. There won't be any pollution there. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. The bride will be in heaven. During the tribulation period, up here in heaven, the bride will be reunited with her husband. The bride is a church, and then all the saved and the guests of the wedding are all there too that aren't part of the bride. The bride are those faithful people in the church age. And I heard a loud voice saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God, the dwelling place of God, is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be among them, and he shall wipe away each tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death, and there shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, Write down these things, for they are faithful and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am Alpha and I am Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of water of life without cost, living waters. Jesus told him one time, as they poured out drank all, I am the living water. I'm the rock that followed Moses in the wilderness. He said, I'm the bread of life. The manna that came down, what is it that came down from heaven? He who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. He said, But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable, murderers and immoral persons, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars that take their part in the lake of fire that burns with brimstone, which is the second death. And one of the seven angels had seven bowls full of the last plagues. Now we go back into the tribulation period. What's going to happen on earth? Then he talks about the temple there. And the temple is very big. Very big. 144, 144, 144. The city four square. He said, I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God is the Almighty, and the Lamb is its temple. And the city has no need of sun or moon or to shine upon it. The glory of God himself shall illuminate it. The lamp is the Lamb, and nations shall walk by its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. In the daytime there shall be no no night. Its gates shall be open. Shall never be closed, that is. They shall bring glory and honor to the nations into it. 22, and I showed me a river of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of the street and on the outer side of the river was a tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Each one of these that you could preach a sermon on. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall no longer be any night, and they shall not have need of light or lamp or light of the sun, because the Lord shall illuminate them, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said to me, These things are faithful and true, and the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent angels to show to his bondservants the things which must shortly take place. And behold, I'm coming quickly. Imi Erkami Anon, those words I heard so many years ago. Blessed is he who heeds the words of this prophecy of this book. And I, John, am the one who heard these, saw these things, and I heard and saw, and I fell down to worship the feet of the angel who showed me these things. He said, Do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren. To those who heed the words of this book and worship God. And he said to me, Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for time is near. Let the one who does wrong still keep on doing wrong. Let the one who is filthy still be filthy. And let the one who is righteous be still practice righteousness. And let the one who is holy still keep himself holy. Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to render every man according to what he has done. Now, the first thing, you don't get there unless you've been born again. But what we do in this world, we are judged for. What we do now, after we're saved, we are rewarded for or chastised for. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, may enter into the gates of the city. Outside are dogs. Outside are homosexuals, is what it says there. And sorcerers, drug dealers, and immoral persons, and murderers, and idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices lying. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify of these things for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star, and the spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost. I testify to everyone who hears the words of this prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God shall add to him the plagues which are written in this book. That's the false leaders in the world, people. That's the false gospels. That's the false Book of Mormon and the Hadith, the Ahadith, the Quran, Charles Hayes Russell's writing. They've added to this book. If anyone takes away from the books of the water of life of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book. Jesus Christ died for every man in this world, even Charles Hayes Russell and Muhammad. He died for all men, but is only efficacious to those that do believe. He who testifies these things and says, yes, I am coming quickly, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, amen. Heaven. The story of heaven. Our Father, we send this message out for your honor and your glory. Please use it. Let people understand that heaven is not a heaven of their imagination, but of your making. Father, please forgive me where I fail you. Please use your words wherever it goes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.